you like to do your reading now? I think we need all the kids to come up, don't we, Linda? Okay, come on, kiddos. Not you, David. You don't get candy this morning in church.
Do you know why we give gifts at Christmas? We give Christmas presents because it is Jesus' birthday. Ago, an angel told Mary she would have a baby named Jesus. Mary and her husband Joseph were very happy. They had a lot to do to get ready for the baby. But first they had to take a long trip to Bethlehem. Mary rode a donkey. Joseph walked. When they got to Bethlehem, many people were there. Mary and Joseph were very tired, but there was no place for them to stay. They slept on a bed of hay in a stable with cows and donkeys that night. Baby Jesus was born. Angels told the shepherds, "Jesus is born. You will find him lying in a manger." Wise men followed a star to the stable and baby Jesus. They brought presents because they loved him. We give gifts at Christmas to show our love. And we say, "Happy birthday, baby Jesus." Thank you. I'm through.
It's done.
It's done.
Are you ready for yours? Paul, I was laid up at the house, and after my first week of recuperating, I was going through some of my dad's papers, and I come across this, and we're all familiar with the Christmas story, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." Well, this is kind of in the tune of that. It's called "'Twas the Night Before Jesus Came." "'Twas the night before Jesus came, and all through the house, not a creature was praying, not one in the house. The Bibles were laying on the shelf without care, in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing a head. And Mom in her rocker, with baby on her lap, was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there arose such a clatter, though I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear, but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew in a moment this must be the day. The light of his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning, just like he had said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him in spite of myself. In the book of life, which he held in his hand, was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name. When he said, 'It's not here,' my head hung in shame. The people whose names had been written with love, he gathered to take to his Father above. With those who were ready, he rose without sound, while all the rest were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long, and thus sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if only I had been ready tonight." In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life, and when comes the last call, we'll find that the Bible was true after all.
Amen. Amen.
Page 153.
I see a lot of red and white. Everybody got the memo just about to wear the red shirt, right? And it's good to be here this morning. It's a beautiful day outside. The sun's shining. The weather's really nice. If you were hoping for a white Christmas, I'm afraid you're going to be a little bit disappointed. What do you think, David? Where do you go? We're not getting one, are we?
No chance.
No chance. So there you go. We'll just have to dream about it. Thank you for coming our way this morning. We are kind of winding down the end of the year. If you remember the end of last month, we had about 3 pages of announcements. Now we're down to just a few. So we still got a lot going on in the next few days. Christmas is Tuesday. A lot of folk are celebrating over the weekend. We had ours at our house yesterday, and then we'll have it again Tuesday morning down at Mom's, but however you're celebrating Christmas, don't forget to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about, really, and the world has largely forgotten that. All right, new calendars and pens are back there on the back table available. There's still some calendars back there and the pens, so get those. You'll be needing to start your 2019 scheduling shortly. I don't know about y'all, but I've already got some stuff entered in mine for next year, so it's upon us. This morning also, the second time the plate is passed around will be for a youth offering, so keep that in mind. That feeds your kids and on Wednesday night and does a lot of stuff there. So at 6 o'clock, we'll have our Christmas concert. Brother David Harrison will be playing. I think Miss Georgia also is going to accompany him some, and I'm looking very much forward to that. I encourage you all to come for that. I know there's a lot going on, but you'll miss a blessing if you're not here. I know Brother David does a great job. Come and support him, and then there'll be refreshments to follow. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I've been trying to do this diet, Jeff. Where you at, Jeff? This is the wrong month of the year to be trying to diet. So I'm going to have to start over again in January. Okay, but come and enjoy the fellowship and some refreshments tonight following the concert. Next Sunday, December the 30th, will also be another, guess what, singing and fellowship. So next Sunday night, we will be gathering again for some singing and also some more eating. And it seems like that's been on every week this time. Okay, nursery attendance this morning, Sam and Donna. And next Sunday, Michelle and Holly. Did I miss any announcements?
Page 151.
151. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to
there in the back and see all those men standing up, and it scared me. Yeah, they look like they're about to charge the pulpit. I'm wanting Brother Sam to come in a hurry. Good to see everybody this morning. It's a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves for only celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ only one day a year. We ought to celebrate that every day of our life as Christians today. But anyway, we're gonna sing a song for you. You've heard it before, but we're going to do it a little better this time, maybe. entitled, Oh Beautiful Star.
Guiding the wise men on their way.
You know, it's not in very many churches today that we have the amount of talent that we have here at Oak Hill. We have a lot of talented people here, and right now we're going to have two of them to come up they have actually two specials this morning, Georgia and David. Y'all come on up and get ready. But we're really looking forward to David's piano concert tonight. I understand that Georgia's going to be playing with him on some tonight. This is actually, from what David told me a while ago, the two songs they're doing is actually two songs that got culled from the concert tonight. So I can't wait to hear how bad they are. No, I'm just joking. I know that what they play is going to be great, so I'm looking forward to it. Here's David and Georgia. On notes, Georgia.
They just went flying.
Thank you. I had a request to do a song for you this morning. Didn't know whether I was going to be able to do it or not. I've just had kind of the crud that a lot of other people have had, and the sore throat and all of that kind of stuff. But we're going to attempt to do this. I'm not supposed to tell you that my wife was the one that requested it, but I will anyway. It's hard for me to live at my house if I don't do requests. So you see what I mean? We're going to do a beautiful old song. It's been around for a long, long time. It's entitled, O Holy Night.
O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary soul rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O angel voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born, O night, O to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, and let us all within us praise his holy, Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever, his power and glory evermore proclaim, his power and glory. Christ was born, O night divine, O night. great divine.
Well, Gene, you're exactly right. This church is blessed with a lot of greatly talented people of God. Joyce Thanks, that's my favorite Christmas song. David and Georgia, y'all are the best. I'll tell you, I'm very blessed to be a part of this great church family, and thank y'all for putting up with me. We are all very blessed that Jesus came. And, we're going to be reading a little bit out of Matthew chapter 18, Luke chapter 2. I hope y'all ate breakfast this morning because this just got me wound up. So lunch might be just a little bit late today, but we'll see how it goes. We're just about ready to celebrate the day that's been set aside to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And as we're preparing for that day, next Tuesday, we get the privilege of coming together one last time. We're going to talk about the birth of Christ here in just a little bit, but to come here to this earth. And I want you to know that without a doubt, God doesn't leave anything to chance. And God has a plan for man. And God's plan did always include the birth of his son, Jesus Christ. God had to furnish his own sinless, perfect sacrifice. That's why he sent Jesus down here, because we couldn't do it ourselves. He sent Jesus down here so that all who believe and call upon the name of the Lord should, shall, and forever, always will be saved. Amen. So the question then that has been asked many times is, why couldn't someone besides Jesus do it? Why couldn't they? As we read through the scriptures, we see that without the shedding of innocent blood, there is no remission of sin. Now, if you remember back to the story of Adam and Eve in the garden and the creation, and Adam and Eve walked and talked in the cool of the day with God there in the garden, and when they had sinned, they then realized that they were walking around without any clothes on. And they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. If you go back and read that account in God's Word. And when God came to walk and talk with them that day after the sin, after the fall, they were hiding from him because of their nakedness and because they were embarrassed. So God, to make that story a little shorter and come to the same point, God himself had to kill, slay an innocent animal that was guilty of nothing, shed that blood, and make a covering for them to hide their nakedness, but also to show them and us that the shedding of innocent blood was required for the remission of sins. There's so many pictures there in that account in Genesis. The one thing, though, that I think that we must understand is that the sin covering for the first sin came from God, and the sin covering for all sin also comes from God. Many times we've talked about the law of Moses being nothing more than a hard taskmaster to show us that we can't live above sin. The law of Moses, I've said many times, I firmly believe, never intended to save anyone. It was only ever intended to show us that God had to furnish the payment of our sin. So, why Jesus? Why not you or me? Why couldn't I do it? Well, there are several reasons, but as I was preparing this message, I settled on a couple that we're going to talk about for just a little bit this morning. First of all, if it were possible for one mere man to live above sin, then all of us would have to do it. Each and every one Because God is nothing if he's not a just God. So if one of us could do it, all of us would have to do it. God is very plain in his word that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. Now we are all inadequate to the task of living a perfect life. Now y'all are a lot better than me, and I know that. And the older I get, and the more that I walk with God and read his word, the more that I realize there is no way that I could live that good because I sin daily. I'm glad y'all are better than me, but I want you to know you're still not perfect. That's why Jesus had to come. We've all sinned. We're all inadequate. Second reason is that God provided salvation is that through God's perfect plan, we all have access to salvation, and it never changes. You know, it doesn't matter who's in power in the world. It doesn't matter who's the president or in the Congress or who is the prime minister of Great Britain or anywhere else. God's plan never changes. It's always about Jesus. You don't have to be wealthy. You don't have to be pretty or handsome, rich, politically connected. You don't have to be any of that. All you have to do is be covered by the blood of Jesus. It's the free gift of God. That's what God did for us. That's why we're here today, to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, God's perfect sacrifice for man. So payment had to be made. We were unable to make it. So God did it himself. I don't want you to think for one second, though, as we're talking about this and as you're thinking on Jesus' birth, that the birth of that God by surprise one bit. He has always known that Jesus would have to come. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus knew that he was going to have to come here and die on that cross for us. You know, sometimes I think we forget, if we're not careful, that Jesus is as eternal as God is. He's always been just like God. He is God. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, passed judgment on all mankind for it. Eve sinned first, but Adam's sin caused mankind to be in this sinful nature. If you read the account over in Genesis, you will see that Eve was deceived, but Adam knowingly ate of the fruit, the forbidden fruit, and that cast us into this sinful nature. He knew better. Now, in the book of Romans chapter 5, we read that this one last week, but it applies again today. We see that by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world. And we see also in that scripture that by one man, Jesus, the free gift came upon all men, salvation. When the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, that means that none of us are not guilty. Judgment has already been passed. Now, we deserve just punishment for our iniquities and our sins. But God so loved, and John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God paid the price with his own Son, with a part of himself. I love the story of Jesus' conception and birth. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, we read, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call him Jesus. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus is obviously not the son of Joseph, because Mary was a virgin. Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit of God. And oh, by the way, the Holy Spirit is as much God as Jesus is, or God the Father. This little Jewish maid, young teenage girl, who had kept herself pure, made herself available to be used by God. Through her, the world was blessed through the birth of Jesus Christ. What a blessing she received, because she kept herself in a position to be used of God. Have you ever thought about Mary? How blessed Mary was to have the Son of God come through her, because she had kept herself in a position to be used of God. Folks, there's a lot of lessons to be learned from that. Do we keep ourselves in a position for God to use us? Mary did. I want you to know this morning that we serve the Son of the living God. His name is Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed, born of the Virgin Mary some 2,000 odd years ago. His birth was anything but natural. Amen. It was supernatural, the birth of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know something this morning. Only God can do the supernatural, because only God can change nature. There's never been a virgin birth other than this one, and there never will be, because this is of God. Earth might be reconciled to God. Joseph and Mary lived like any other Jewish couple of their time, and they had to abide by the laws of the land just like anyone else. So God blessed Joseph and Mary by the birth of his son Jesus Christ, but they still had to live like the rest of the people of their time. So when the decree came down in Luke chapter 2, and beginning in verse 1, Luke 2 and verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. We're going to read the rest of this as we go down there. But no one got a pass. They had to go back to their city or their place where their ancestry came, and they had to pay this tax. No one was left out. You couldn't get a voucher. In verse 4, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The king The King has arrived, and he came just like you and I, through a mere mortal woman, born a miraculous birth with a heavenly father. And no special treatment was given to him. There wasn't a big pomp and ceremony when his birth came. They had went down there to pay their taxes. The city was full. You know, yesterday we had our Christmas celebration at our house. All of our kids and grandkids were there, and it was a great, marvelous day. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like having your family all gathered together. It was really nice to have them there. I was reading the story of Jesus, and the grandkids were telling parts of it as I went along. And you're talking about a blessing to you. We're so blessed to have our families in church serving God and teaching those little ones about Jesus Christ. Friend, I want you to know something. Don't miss that opportunity. Because if you've got young kids or if you've got young grandkids, they only stay young for a while. They're very impressionable. Teach them about Jesus. Teach them about the virgin birth, this miraculous birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at an early age. Don't miss that opportunity with your kids and grandkids. Teach them the real reason that we celebrate Christmas. The Savior of all mankind. And He lives. You know, as you read through the story there given to us in the account in the Bible, you see that there was no room for them in the inn, and they didn't make special arrangements for Jesus. They didn't kick anybody out of the nice places to stay, but someone gave this innkeeper, gave them leave to stay in the barn. And so Jesus was born, and they wrapped him in these swaddling clothes, and they placed him in this manger. Now, you know, I grew up in the country, and most of y'all did. I don't know if all of you know what a manger is, but literally it's the place that they feed the animals. It's a trough. We call them feed troughs. We didn't really call them mangers, you know, and sometimes they would have a place where you could put the hay in above so everything fell down in the trough, but the animals had licked in there. You know, we send our baby, our wives, and to the hospital in a clean environment to be born. And they wrap them up and they put them in these nice little warm places, and we can look through the window at them. And when Jesus was born, this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They put him in the feed trough. And I think that all the animals in that barn gave praise to God because of the presence of Jesus Christ. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, laying in a feed trough so that you and I could be reconciled to God. Jesus had a miraculous birth. He was born of a heavenly Father. And He came to do the bidding of His Father, God Almighty, so that we could spend eternity with Him. Thank you, Jesus. You know, He didn't have to come, but He chose to. You know, He didn't have to give Himself on that cross at Calvary, but He chose to, so that we could have the greatest gift ever given to man. Thank you, God the Father. My Father, my Heavenly Father, thank you. We get so wrapped up in the festivities of the world in this time of celebrating Christmas that we really, if we're not careful, don't celebrate the true birth of Jesus. I love Christmas because of the birth. I hate the commercializing of it. Quote, why we celebrate Christmas. You know, we're not told in the Scripture to pick out a day to celebrate the birth of Jesus that come through mankind. We should celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior every day we live. No, by the way, we should do our dead level best to serve him every day, to live a life that's pleasing to God. Listen, the sacrifice has been made. Jesus came down from his lofty throne in heaven, and he came down here and he became a mere man so that you and I could live in eternity. I dare say that there's probably more people in church this morning than at any other time of the year, except maybe for Easter. I want you to ask yourself a question. Do you think that pleases God? Just coming on Easter or Christmas? Is that pleasing to God? Well, listen, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad people are in church everywhere this morning. But when we get right down to it, let us never fail to acknowledge why we're here. It's all about serving God and worshiping him. The Bible tells us to take up our cross daily and follow him. Jesus himself said that. What are we doing the other 363 days a year? What are we doing? Listen, if you're here this morning, if you're hearing this sermon maybe on the internet, and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want you to know this. He came to this earth for you. He lived a sinless, perfect life for you, just like he did me. He gave himself on that cross for you. He didn't have to. He chose to. The Bible's very plain. It tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what Jesus did for you. Saved from what? Saved from the penalty of sin. Saved from what we truly deserve. His son, Jesus. Know Jesus as your personal Savior. And you that know Jesus, you that truly know him and are born again, are you serving him like you should? I have to ask myself that question all the time. And one of my prayers that I say nearly every day, if not every day, is that God, help me to be better today than I was yesterday. A better pastor, a better father, a better husband, a better me. Because my goal in life is to be more like Jesus. So what about you, saved friend? I can't think of a better day to give a gift of God than today, of dedicating your life to him or rededicating it to him. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's the greatest gift you can ever give back to God, is accepting Jesus. But if you do know him, friend, dedicate the rest of your life to serving him in spirit and in truth. He dedicated his life to you. He gave his life for you. Give the gift that keeps on giving. You know what? You can give the gift away, the free gift of God that he gave to you, and it doesn't take it away from you. You get to keep your part. Amen? Amen. I thank you, God, for sending Jesus Christ. I thank you for saving my soul so many years ago. And I pray, God, that you help me to be a better Christian than I've been. If there's any here amongst us today that don't know Jesus as their personal Savior, as I see that little babe laying in that manger, as I think on all the things that he went through and all the things that he did for me, Lord, help us all to accept that free gift of God in that little baby Jesus. I want to ask you if you would stand with me. Our pianist and our song leader to come, if you would bow with me for a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you at this time, Lord, so thankful for the gift that you gave us. Lord, I just ask that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, would just open the hearts and minds of the whole world, Lord. Any listening on the internet or however you see fit, Lord, to get them the message, that their hearts would be open and that they would see that what we're celebrating today is the gift that you gave us. Help us to focus, Lord, on your Son Jesus every day. But Lord, I pray especially for this time of Christmas when people are going around giving gifts to each other, that Lord, that you would impress upon us that the true gift that we need to be sharing with our fellow man is the gift of Jesus Christ. I don't know what day Jesus was born. It doesn't matter to me. All I know, Lord, is that he was born a miraculous birth with a heavenly Father, and that he chose to do that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Pray if there's any lost amongst us, that they too would realize that they need that Jesus, that Christ child, and what he did for us here on this earth to be saved from the penalties of our sin. Lord, help us also to realize that we need Jesus every day to help us live a pleasing life to you. I pray your willing, your life, your will, Lord, be accomplished in each and every one here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Page 157.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child.
As you're listening to the words of this song, can you see Mary there in that barn about to give birth to Jesus Christ? Because of this holy night, we can have peace. As I think about the birth of Jesus, the long journey that they had traveled to get there. She was big with child, about to give birth at any time, and made that long journey. Do you not see God's protecting hand upon her and the baby? Oh, and on us. He did it for us. I think of them in that old smelly barn. You know, I actually like the smell of the barn, but it's nothing like a hospital, is it? And giving birth there in that not real sanitized environment, a healthy little baby boy. He came like that so that all men could be saved.
Amen.
Never pay that back, friend. We can do the best we can. Sing another verse of that song, G.
Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar. Yeah.
Merry Christmas. And I sure hope to see all of you back tonight. I know that's probably not going to happen.